بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 17th of February in the year 2018 الحمد لله we moved on to the 68th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the majestic companion Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu anhu. So the next section is entitled Farewell to Aunts. Some time before his expedition to Marash, Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu had had a special bath. Just as Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu did everything well, he also bathed well. He thus had with him a special substance prepared with an alcoholic mixture, which was supposed to have a soothing effect on the body when applied externally. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu thus rubbed his blessed body with this substance and thoroughly enjoyed the bath from which he emerged glowing and refreshed. In Tabari in his Tariq, volume 3, page 166, it is related. A few weeks later, he received a letter from the Khalif radiyallahu anhu, which read, "It has come to my notice that you have rubbed your body with alcohol. Lo, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made unlawful the substance of alcohol as well as its form, just as he subhanahu wa ta'ala has made unlawful both the form and the substance of sin. He subhanahu wa ta'ala has made unlawful the touch of alcohol in a bath, no less than the consumption of it. Henceforth, let it not touch your body, for it is unclean." So let's look at this. So obviously, Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu, his body was etched with wounds from the various campaigns. And alcohol is not only a good cleaner, it also gets rid of the bacteria. It kind of heals the wounds. So obviously, he's using it externally, it's haram to consume. But then obviously Sayyidina Umar has got spies, radiyallahu, and the news reaches him that he's done this. So Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu told him, just as Allah the Almighty has made it haram to consume, he's made it haram to touch. He goes, keep away from it. He goes, don't do this again. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu, he thereupon wrote back to the Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu and explained the method of preparation of the offending substance with the alcoholic mixture and the cleaning of it by boiling. He wrote, "We kill it, i.e. the alcohol, so that it becomes like bath water without alcohol." This is in Tabari in his Tariq, volume 3, page 166. So Khalid radiyallahu anhu, he explained how he was using it. It wasn't the raw alcohol. He goes, it's basically boiled. And he goes, it's just like bath water. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu thereupon wrote back, this time he was angry, in Tabari in his Tariq, volume 3, page 166, "I fear that the house of Mughira is full of wrongdoing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore not now destroy you on account of it, O Khalid radiyallahu anhu." So Umar radiyallahu anhu wasn't happy with this response. And if you look at the way he responded to him, he rebuked him, it was out of love. Because he said, "I fear that the house of Mughira is full of wrongdoing." So how is that a mild rebuke? Because Mughira was the maternal grandfather of Umar and the paternal grandfather of Khalid. So he could have said, "I fear that you are full of wrongdoing, O Khalid." What he said was, "I fear that the house of Mughira," so including himself, because Mughira, Umar's mother's father was Mughira. And Khalid's father's father, Walid ibn Mughira. So when he said, "I fear that the house of Mughira is full of wrongdoing," this shows his love. He was rebuking him, but he was also putting himself under the rebuke. "May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore not now destroy you on account of it." So now on this issue of alcohol, there's a report. In Hakim in his Mustadrak 3-289 to 290 states Sahih to the criteria of Bukhari and Muslim. Zahabi in his Al-Talkhis 4-290 states Sahih. Sabaya al-Aslamiya, rahmatullah alayh, she relates. Some women of Asham came to Aisha radiyallahu anha, and one of the women said, I have daughters whose hair I coif with this drink. She inquired, radiyallahu anha, what drink? She answered, wine. Thus Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha responded in anger, would you be satisfied if you coiffed your hair with the blood of a pig? She replied, no, of course not. Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha clarified, then indeed, they, i.e. wine and pig's blood, are the same, i.e. impurity. So let's look at this. So this is a Sahih Hadith, flawless report in Hakim and Zahabi. So what was the woman doing? She was using alcohol, wine, to clean her hair. So she wasn't drinking it, obviously, but she was using it to clean her hair. So Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, when she was told what it was, Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu anha, in anger, what did she say? Would you be satisfied if you did this to your hair with the blood of a pig? So obviously, which Muslim on the earth, you say, look, I've got a nice tonic for your hair, pig's blood. You'd be offended by that. She goes, of course not, because it's the same thing. So this indicates it's a substance. The substance in itself, which is haram. So without going into all of the legal jargon, the impurity of alcohol is the verdict of Sayyidina Umar, radiyallahu anhu, and the Shafi'is, rahimahumullah. Whilst the Hanafis, rahimahumullah, are somewhat more lenient in this regard. Now, why is this an important ruling? Because, for example, people work in the hospitals, and they've got those hand washes. So the hand wash has got alcohol in it. So according to the Shafi'is, you must have put pig's blood on your hands. So it's practical, so it's forbidden. It's not forbidden in the sense that you have committed a sin, but now you put an impurity in your hand. The Hanafis, they're more lenient. They say no, as they do with the substance itself. So note, this disagreement happened in the time of the Sahaba. Khalid was using it on his body, radiyallahu. And Umar radiyallahu anhu wasn't happy with that. So note, it's not something the Imams have differed over. It's the Sahaba themselves, radiyallahu ta'ala. So therefore, out of precaution, you should avoid this. Don't start asking for fatwa. And now the disaster is, you've got the internet. Everybody becomes mufti. They show you phone here, look brother. Read that, mashallah. The goodwill which Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu had gained in the eyes of the Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu as a result of the battle of Al-Hadr was now certainly washed away by Khalid's opinion regarding the external application of substances treated with alcohol. So like I mentioned, he praised him after the battle of Al-Hadr. He goes, he truly is the commander. Abu Bakr knew his men better than I. But now after this incident, that was washed away. Shortly thereafter, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu also came to know of Ash'ath rahmatullah alayhi's reciting poem in praise of Khalid radiyallahu anhu and then receiving a 10,000 dirham gift. This was now more than the Amir al-Mu'mineen could take. The Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhu now took the fateful step in the annals of Islamic history to dismiss the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not just from any command, but now from all further military engagements. So note, things were happening which caused the displeasure of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu. And eventually, he thought this is the right time to now dismiss him. Not just from command. He dismissed him from command when he became the Khalif. Now from all further military engagements. This announcement was received by the Muslims in hushed silence. So he made the announcement. Khalid is dismissed from all further military engagements. So they all were shocked to hear this announcement. Everyone knew that in the heart of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu, there were stumbling blocks when it came to Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu. However, none had expected the Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhu to act so hastily against the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially after the last 4 years or so in which he had guided the Muslims to such incredible victories. The Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhu thereupon gathered the Muslims and gave the following reasons for the dismissal of this noble man. He said, "Please excuse me from dismissing Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu anhu from his post of command, i.e. and all further military engagements. I dismissed him, for instead of reserving some money for the poor Muslims that I has instructed, he rather gave it to people who were powerful, noble and eloquent. I thus have handed over all the command to Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu anhu." This is in Ahmad al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawaid, volume 6, page 3, states Sahih. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 177 of the New English Translation. So look at interest. He's actually apologizing. He says, "Please excuse me for dismissing Khalid bin Walid." And the reason he now gives is another reason. He says, "I instructed him not to give the money except to those who are needy. But he's given it to people who are powerful, noble and eloquent, i.e. Ash'ath." And then he says, all command goes to Abu Ubaidah, meaning he's dismissed completely. One youth could not therefore control himself, and he sprang up and he said, "By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you shall never be excused, O son of Khattab radiyallahu anhu. You have dismissed a commander that no other than the Messenger of Allah has appointed." "You have dared sheathe the sword that the Messenger of Allah has hoisted. Indeed, there can be no other reason for this rash decision than you were jealous of your cousin." Umar radiallahu anhu responded calmly by simply saying, "You are obviously a close family member, relative of Khalid. You are still young and are thus angry for the sake of your cousin." This is recorded in Bukhari in his Tarikh 1-57, Nasa'i number 8283, Sahih, Ahmad in his Musnad 3-475, Bayhaqi volume 6 page 349, Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawaid volume 6 page 3 states Sahih, Al-Bidayah, Ayat al-Sahaba volume 3 page 177 of the New English Translation. So let's look at this. So when he made the announcement, he's dismissed from all military engagements. One of his cousins, he said a few harsh words to Sayyidina Umar. He goes, "The Holy Prophet himself unleashed this sword. How dare you sheath it?" And he goes, "There's only one reason for this. You're jealous of him." And Umar looked interesting. Didn't get offended. He just said, "You're obviously very close to him. You're a family member. You're still young. You're angry for the sake of your cousin." Sahih hadith. So now there's a question. Who were those people to whom Khalid was generously giving radiyallahu anhu? So Shaykh Ali Muhammad Al-Sallabi hafizahullah, in his work The Biography of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, volume 2 page 240, he elucidated. Umar radiyallahu anhu thought that the time for softening hearts and attracting the weak in iman with money and gifts had now come to an end. Islam no longer needed these people, and the people could thus be left to their own faith and conscience. Khalid, on the other hand, radiyallahu anhu, thought that some of those courageous men and fighters in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who were fighting alongside him were men whose intention was not purely to seek the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that men such as these needed some of this wealth to strengthen their resolve and motivate themselves further. Umar radiallahu anhu thus thought that the poor amongst the emigrants were more deserving of this wealth than others. When he told the people in Al-Jabiyah of his reasons for dismissing Khalid radiallahu anhu, he said, "I told him to keep this money to be spent on the weak ones amongst the emigrants, but he gave it to men of power and strength." This is in Al-Bidayah 7-115. No doubt Umar radiallahu anhu and Khalid radiyallahu anhu both had strong arguments for their opinions. But Umar radiyallahu anhu understood some things that Khalid did not radiyallahu anhu. So this is the full quote. It's also in Tarikh al-Islami 11-147. So the respected Sheikh who wrote this biography on Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu, he said Umar radiyallahu anhu's policy was clear. There's a category who are not only allowed that you give wealth, you can give them zakat. And they are to people who still need financial help to strengthen their iman, because maybe they're wavering. Umar radiallahu anhu said, that time is finished. No more gifts, no more handouts. That was his policy, radiallahu anhu. Khalid radiallahu anhu, he didn't agree with that. He knew that amongst the people who are now in the Islamic forces, there were people who were doing jihad, not 100%, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They realized they could get financial gain. So Khalid radiallahu anhu realized that iman is weak. Therefore he was helping them by giving them some wealth. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he got angry over this. And he clearly said, I told him not to give wealth to the weak ones, I mean the strong ones. But he still gives it to the people of strength. So then the Shaykh said, both Umar and Khalid had strong arguments. But then he said something very interesting. But Umar understood things that Khalid did not. Why? Because Umar is a faqih, mujtahid imam. Khalid wasn't. So note, this is the beauty of the deen. There's various paths. But note, you can't find fault with any decision. You understand? Umar was absolutely correct. Khalid was correct. But you can respectfully ask who was more correct. You understand? But the problem is, when it gets down to street level, you get those preposterous statements, Khalid was wrong. And you're like, with or Umar is wrong. Even worse, imagine it, astaghfirullah. One goes, both of them are wrong. MashaAllah, you're next level, you. There were also another most obvious and most important reason why the Venerable Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu had made this most apparent drastic decision. So what were the reasons? Apparently, wealth, giving his wealth where he shouldn't. Secondly, alcohol, disgusting. Other reasons possibly, but there was another reason. Namely, during the blessed Khalifat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and the rapid expansion of the Islamic State, unparalleled in history, the Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu had now noticed that many of the people were taken for granted that wherever Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu and Al-Muthanna rahmatullahi alayh went in their campaigns, victory would be assured. This startled the Venerable Khalifa radiallahu anhu, and he realized that he was now duty-bound to protect the tawheed of the ignorant. For if it was, of course, through no other than the help of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the swift victories were occurring. However, as shown above, at the time, he took no immediate action. So what was happening? If you look at the entire history of humanity, the Islamic expansion was the quickest. The Roman Empire spread gradually over a period of centuries' time. The Persian Empire, Islamic Empire, a couple of years. So it's unparalleled in human history. So now the people of the time, they saw two great stalwarts. One was Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, and the other was Muthanna, who got the ball rolling in terms of the Iraqi campaigns. Wherever these two mighty men went, there was no defeats. So people started saying, we cannot be defeated as long as Khalid is at the head and Muthanna. When Umar heard this, he's the padlock to the fitna. So he didn't initially take any steps, but he realized he's now duty bound to cut this. So what happened? In Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat 3-151 Al-Bidayah, Sayyidina Umar finally said, radiallahu, I will certainly remove Khalid bin Walid and Muthanna ibn Shayban radiallahu, so that the Muslims realize it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who helps his servants. It is not them two whom he was helping, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he made it clear. He goes, Allah ta'ala is helping the Muslims. He's helping his deen. It's not these two. Why? Because people think, is he only helping these two? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he goes, I'm going to dismiss them both. I'm going to cut this wing off. Then I'm going to cut this wing off. And see what happens. As if to say, let's see whether Islam stops spreading. Did it stop spreading? In addition, Khalid radiyallahu anhu had done certain things which had caused the displeasure of the Khalif radiyallahu anhu, which he had duly noted, but again, as shown, had not taken action against. So if you look at the matter critically, Umar radiyallahu anhu was spot on. He acted at the precise time in history to take the decision. And only he could take that decision because he was the padlock to the fitna. Any fitna is emerging, he's in a kuti, like you get that gardener, itch. Right? So note, he still wanted some excuse. But because Khalid was sahab, he's not going to, you know, obviously commit a major sin. And Umar goes, right. Umar had to come out with something. He goes, right, alcohol, yes, that's the... And what else? Yeah, he's giving, yeah, that's it. But really, the underlying reason was fitna. It has to be cut. And Muthanna was also dismissed. Subhanallah, however, as mentioned, when Umar radiyallahu anhu received intelligence that Khalid radiyallahu anhu had given 10,000 dirhams to Ash'ath ibn Qais rahmatullah alayh for a poem which he had recited in praise of him, this was the final straw. He thereupon immediately wrote to the overall commander-in-chief, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, radiyallahu anhu. In Tabari in his Tariq, volume 3, page 167, he wrote, "Bring Khalid radiyallahu anhu in front of the congregation, tie his hands with his own turban, and take off his cap, i.e., so as not to show any irreverence to the hair of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then ask him from what funds he gave to Ash'ath, from his own pocket or from the spoils of the expedition. If he confesses to have given from the spoils, he is guilty of misappropriation. And if he claims he has given from his own pocket, he is guilty of israf, extravagance. Either way, dismiss him. Take charge of all duties, O Abu Ubaidah." So now what's happening? So Umar radiyallahu anhu, he basically says, heads I win, tails you lose. Khalid is dismissed either way. Whether he's taken from the spoils and given, which he didn't obviously, he's dismissed. And if he's given from his own pocket, extravagance. And he goes, take his turban off, tie his hands with it, the blessed cup, put it to the side, and ask him to confess in front of the Muslims. What has he done? The Amir al-Mu'mineen thereupon reflected upon who should take this powerful letter, for it would certainly be a most difficult task to carry out. Somebody was needed who was trustworthy, strong and decisive. Umar radiallahu anhu thereupon scanned the companions radiallahu ta'ala, and his eyes lit up when he saw Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu. Thus Sayyidina Bilal was summoned radiallahu anhu. Upon receiving instructions from the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he immediately headed towards Emesa. When he arrived, he handed the letter to Abu Ubaidah, who read it, and he was aghast. Because Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu obviously is very fond of Khalid. He read the letter, he was shocked. He could hardly believe that this was to be done to the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the Amir al-Mu'mineen's orders had to be obeyed. Thus Abu Ubaidah summoned Khalid from Kinna Sirin. Khalid received the message that you're wanted in Emesa. He thereupon left with a smile on his blessed face, without the least suspicion of what lay in store for him. He possibly imagined that he was being called for another council of war. Perhaps now a full-scale liberation of the Byzantine Empire. He looked forward eagerly to more battles and glory for the Islam. So he's happy. He thinks, yes, alhamdulillah, forget about governorship. Let's go again. Arriving at Emesa, he went directly to the dwelling of Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu anhu. And here for the first time, he came to know the purpose of Abu Ubaidah's call radiyallahu anhu. Not much could shock and silence Khalid radiyallahu anhu, but the charge which had now been made against him silenced him. Upon reflection, Khalid radiyallahu anhu asked Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu anhu for a little time to consult with his family. And Abu Ubaidah says, fine. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu thus went to the dwelling of his sister, Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anhu, who was then an emissar. He explained his position to her and he wanted advice. Fatima radiallahu anha confirmed her suspicions. In Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 624, she said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Umar radiallahu anhu will never be pleased with you. He wants nothing more than that you should confess to some mistake so that he will dismiss you. Khalid radiallahu anhu listened to his sister's words and he simply responded, you are right. He then kissed his sister on the forehead and returned to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, informing him that there really was nothing to confess. So basically, Khalid saying, I've done nothing wrong, my sister's giving me the advice. He goes, oh Amir, oh Abu Ubaidah, what have I done wrong? Thereafter, the two venerable generals, radiallahu anhuma, walked in silence to a place where a large number of Muslims had gathered as ordered by Bilal. As Umar had said, get a huge gathering of Muslims and do what you need to do to Khalid. At one end stood a raised platform. And on this, Abu Ubaidah and Khalid sat down, radiallahu anhuma, facing the congregation. Bilal, radiallahu anhu, sat to the side of Abu Ubaidah, radiallahu anhu. For a few minutes, there was an awkward silence. The Muslims looked at each other. They had no idea of the purpose of the congregation, nor had Khalid for that matter, radiallahu anhu. He did not connect Umar's charge against him with this gathering, for it never occurred to him that he would face a public trial. Bilal radiallahu anhu then looked questioningly at Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, but Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu lowered his head. He had obeyed the Amir al-Mu'mineen's instructions as far as necessary. So Bilal's looking at Abu Ubaidah and he wants him to start the proceedings. Abu Ubaidah doesn't do anything. Why? Because he doesn't want to hurt Khalid. And he's like, I've obeyed the Khalif as much as I can. If a mountain of a man like Khalid radiallahu anhu, who had rendered military services to the new Muslim state, as no other general had done, was to be subjected to a public humiliation, then the Amin of this Ummah would have nothing to do with it. Bilal could do as he wished, radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu understood Abu Ubaidah's reluctance. He thereupon stood up. He faced the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in a voice which could be heard by the entire congregation, he called out, O Khalid radiallahu anhu, did you give Ash'ath 10,000 dirhams from your own pocket or from the spoils of war? This is in Al-Bidayah, Tabari in his Tariq, volume 3, page 167. So he's speaking loud so everybody can hear. He goes, how did you give that wealth, spoils or from your own pocket? Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu thereupon stared at Bilal in absolute silence. And he didn't say anything. Bilal radiallahu anhu, after a short time, he repeated his question. He goes, did you give the wealth to Ash'ath from spoils or from your own pocket? Khalid remained silent radiallahu anhu. Then after a few more awkward moments of silence, Bilal radiallahu anhu walked right up to Khalid radiallahu anhu and said, O Khalid radiallahu anhu, the Amir al-Mu'mineen has ordered this. He then took off Khalid radiallahu anhu's turban and the blessed cup. Then with the turban, he tied Khalid's hands behind his back radiallahu anhu. Bilal then for the final time repeated his question. In Al-Bidayah Tabari in his Tarikh, volume 3, page 167, Khalid finally found his speech. He says, I gave from my own pocket. When he heard these words, Bilal radiallahu anhu immediately untied Khalid's hands radiallahu anhu. Then respectfully, he replaced his priceless cup and untying his hands once again, wrapped the turban around his noble head. He thereupon said, we hear and obey our rulers. Indeed, we honor and serve them, O Khalid. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Bilal had performed this most difficult and delicate of tasks most admirably. The Amir al-Mu'mineen had chosen well. Subhanallah. So look how beautifully he did it. He obeyed Hazrat Umar radiallahu. At the same time, he showed all the veneration to Khalid. Khalid said, there he goes, from my own pocket, I gave the wealth. And then he respectfully put everything back on his blessed head. And he goes, it's an honor to serve our rulers. In other words, you are a commander, O Khalid radiallahu. And note, Bilal was the man for the job, radiyallahu. Anybody else might have crumbled there, thinking, I can't do this. Even Abu Ubaidah couldn't do it, radiyallahu. So Umar obviously knew his men very well, radiyallahu. And inshallah, we'll continue from here tomorrow. So all I mentioned today was basically Sayyidina Khalid, radiyallahu anhu, his ultimate dismissal now from all military engagements. And hopefully trying to explain why Sayyidina Umar took that drastic decision. There was a outward reason, but there was a more important reason why he took this decision. And note how honorable the whole scenario was. And how Khalid listened and obeyed to the seniors. He didn't cause any fitna or fasad. Great Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu. Are there any questions? Let's ask. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك سبحان الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين